safety of Canadians is our number one priority, and that's why I made the decision to shoot down the object that was a threat to civil aviation and a potential threat to Canadians.
There you go. That's the voice of Justin Trudeau confirming on the weekend that a foreign object was shot out of the sky over the weekend, and it would have been taken out of the sky by NORAD, which is actually a joint Canadian-American operation. So the Prime Minister can't necessarily say he shot it out. It's a joint thing. Nonetheless, this was about 100 miles from the first one was from the U.S.-Canada border just over central Yukon. And that's when, I guess, the Prime Minister and President Biden had a conversation. They decided that they were going to take another balloon out. And then there was another balloon, I think a fourth one, shot down later on Sunday afternoon over Lake Huron in the Tobermory area. And so here we are. We have no confirmation what the objects are. We don't know if they're actually Chinese surveillance balloons, but certainly the problem with the range of where these things were flying, it's in the path of civilian flights. But it is also, we're now starting to see kind of a regular feature of these things showing up, and then NORAD scrambling F-22s to take them down. Let me bring in Professor Christian Luprecht over at Royal Military College of Canada, expert on all things security and defense, also author of new book Polar Cousins, Antarctic and Arctic Geostrategic Future, which, of course, you can download now. Hello, Professor.
Good morning.
All righty, so we don't really have a confirmation. I mean, for all we know, these could be hoaxes. I don't think they are. I don't think NORAD would scramble for a hoax. However, what do you make of these things? I mean, they're kind of, is it that they're appearing now more regularly, or are we just noticing them?
Yeah, so that's the first point, of course, to make. The Minister of National Defense had previously said that the government has its eyes wide open when it comes to China. Well, it appears that initially we weren't even able to detect these objects, and then we weren't able to actually identify them. So I would say it's a little hard to say you have your eyes wide open when you can actually see what it is that you need to identify. I think what is happening here are two things. One is that an adversary is clearly probing our airspace. And in the process, they're trying to learn and understand how NORAD, the North American Aerospace Command, responds and works. And you'd want to do that so that you can calibrate your own adversarial actions accordingly. The other is that these balloons are indeed collecting espionage, in particular with regards to critical military sites. And the objective of that intelligence is to ensure that the missiles our adversaries have can, on the one hand, penetrate our airspace, and on the other hand, can take out our command and control infrastructure that is there to defend our airspace.
Yeah, and certainly they know they can come into Canada because we just don't have what we need to do it, albeit we have NORAD, which is a joint operation that we have with the United States. And so we do have, you know, that relationship where they will take care of this. There were some arguments, you know, at the beginning of this that the president had waited too long to take out the first one. And now it seems that it's a fairly immediate thing that they're doing. So what's the messaging that China takes out of this? Because as I understand, Christian, and correct me where I'm wrong, apparently they've got like a program of these balloons. There's about 40 of them. And so are they just going to release them all and try to grab whatever surveillance they can? Is it NORAD they're trying to learn about?
I mean, these balloons are relatively inexpensive, so they can readily produce dozens or hundreds of these balloons, both to make them a real irritant and potentially to deliver more espionage and other prospective payloads. The real challenge here is this, that China and Russia feel vulnerable. And so they're trying to make sure that their own strategic nuclear arsenal is going to be effective in deterring adversarial action. Why? Well, it's no coincidence that these balloons started to show up days after the United States announces basing rights in the Philippines. This is a message by China that as the U.S. moves closer into its neighborhood, China is prepared not just to move into our neighborhood, but to take geostrategic competition to the skies over North America, precisely to demonstrate that we are vulnerable. Why would they want to demonstrate that? So that they can contain and curtail our ability to have our legitimately elected democratic governments make political decisions that are in our best interest, because the signal is if you make decisions that are not in China's best interest, then who knows, next time it might not be a balloon, next time it might be a missile.
Right. And so I know that this makes for good fodder for late night television, but what is the risk here? I mean, how concerned should everyday people be about these?
Well, so look, regional, global, international stability in large part hinges on U.S. extended deterrence, in particular nuclear deterrence. That is particularly true for our allies and partners in Europe, as well as for the Chinese periphery. Think about Taiwan and Japan, for instance. So that requires the North American continent to be secure, because if the North American continent is insecure, that means the capability and the effectiveness of U.S. extended deterrence is ultimately undermined and possibly threatened. And so these objects provide a fundamental challenge to international stability and the ability of the United States to project power.
Yeah. I mean, right now, I don't need to explain to you. I mean, the Trudeau government's been under fire about, you know, the naivete and not being aggressive enough to stop China from interfering with our elections, that they might have known much sooner that's going on. We've got researchers in our universities doing joint program, you know, projects with Chinese researchers that want to, you know, work for the military. There's so many things that we are doing to undermine ourselves. This has to be a wake-up call, no? I mean, I keep saying that, Christian, but at some point there's got to be a wake-up call. That we've got to get much smarter about this, and I'm not sure we can prepare for it because our F-22s are nowhere near being delivered. But
yeah, or F-35s. The F-22 is not for sale.
We'll take anything that works at this point. I don't think we can be picky, right?
I think there's two dimensions to this. That the balloons are just the latest in a panoply of high-tech capabilities. Think of hypersonic missiles that both China and Russia have developed, as well as unmanned underwater vehicles with which they have been violating our sovereignty. So this intent and capability by our adversaries to build technology with the purpose and intent of violating our sovereignty. The other is that as these balloons demonstrate, you don't need military threats in order to render us vulnerable. And our adversaries are on a campaign that harnesses the full spectrum of hybrid and gray zone threats, political, economic, diplomatic, societal, cyber, to undermine our stability, our societies, our sovereignty, our Arctic, and our democratic institutions. And that requires a whole of society approach and the federal government to lead a whole of government approach rather than turning a blind eye.
Yeah. And so what do you see then? I mean, I don't know how many more of these balloons are going to fly, but what do you see the end point on this? Like, what are you watching for?
That the Canadian government, together with the United States, will need to develop a strategy that deters an adversary from engaging in actions that clearly run against our best interests and acceptable norms of behavior in the international community. And I think those capabilities are available to us. It just requires the government to actually make a real commitment and show a real signal that it is pledging to recommit to the strategy that kept us secure, prosperous, and democratic since the end of World War II, which is effective continental defense.
A backbone. That's what you're saying. You want a backbone to the policy. So there you go. All right. Well, you've been warning this for a good long time and saying we've got to get more serious, but I guess we're about to find out. Thanks, Professor.
Actions, not words. Always a pleasure.
Yes,
thank you.
And by the way, I've got a lot of people who ask me where they can get your book, the new one you've got. You've got a few of them out, Polar Cousins, Antarctic and Arctic Geostrategic Future. It just rolls off your tongue. But where can people get that?
Published by the University of Calgary Press. I mean, you can buy it in hardcover, but it is available open access for download. And it deals exactly with this, with the issues we just talked about, that the Arctic is no longer just a dot of white at the end of the world. It is indeed part and parcel, the locus of geostrategic competition. And we had better pay attention, because what happens there matters for the rest of the stability of the globe.
There you go. All right. Very much appreciate your time always. Thanks, Professor.
Real pleasure, Alex. Take care. Have a great morning.
That is Christian Luprecht, who has been warning for a long, 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 long time. That's why he keeps writing these books. Whether or not this is going to be the wake-up call, I don't know. The Prime Minister certainly will be asked about this, but we'll keep an eye and see if any more balloons show up today.